sweet friend. This is Deeper Life, and I'm your host, Alexis Teichmiller. I'm a writer, content creator, and a woman on a journey to finding more depth in life. If you crave soul-filling conversations and long for a stronger connection to yourself and others, consider this your safe haven. It can be hard to embrace who we are, let alone share that with the rest of the world. The Deeper Life podcast is a safe place to show up and hear conversations about relationships, emotional growth, and explore what it means to be vulnerable. If you're ready to dig deeper, I'm here to help you embrace who you are, reflect on your past, and connect with yourself. Welcome to A Deeper Life. Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Deeper Life with me, your host, Alexis Teichmiller. Thank you so much for holding space for me today, this episode, and I am so excited to dig into this episode. I'm going to be honest with you, which I always am, but I just feel like I need to say that. This episode has legit changed my life from the moment that I recorded it with Marlene. We recorded it about 3 weeks ago, and I have not stopped thinking about it. It has worked its way into the way I view myself, into the way I work, and really just set me down this path over the last couple of weeks to true self-acceptance, which is what this episode is all about. Self-acceptance and self-esteem, and really bridging the gap to confidence. And, you know, people sometimes think that self-acceptance means that you're lazy or that you aren't willing to grow, or you use this narrative, well, that's just who I am. That's not the case. Self-acceptance is actually the first step to jumping into self-esteem and then becoming more self-confident. And so we talk through what self-acceptance really means, the areas of life that this can really help and unlock for you. We do talk about the differences between self-esteem, self-confidence, and self-acceptance. And then we talk through how do we become more self-accepting? How can I hold space for both self-acceptance and growth too? We can still accept ourselves and acknowledge who we are while keeping a path open to growing and evolving as people. This episode is so powerful. I hope I'm not hyping this up too much, but I am serious. This episode has changed my outlook and really just helped me accept and acknowledge who I am so that I can move forward instead of feeling that inner tension of trying to be perfect or trying to appear perfect. This episode's really helped me just address that. I hope it helps you as well. And just to give you a little bit of background on Marlene, sorry, I just dove right into what the episode was about. But if you are a longtime listener to the Deeper Life podcast, you know who Marlene Rose Shaw is. If you are new, she is our resident therapist that we have on the podcast once a month. And she has over 30 years of clinical experience, and she offers so much wisdom and perspective to each episode that we tackle, different topics. We also talk through audience questions. There are some audience questions about self-acceptance that we answered at the end of each episode, like we always do. And I'm just so thankful for her and her just everything that is Marlene. I love her so much. And you can just kind of hear our connection through this interview as well, as we always just go so deep and talk through all these different things and how they impact us and sometimes even keep us stuck, keep us where we are. So this is a really impactful episode, and I can't wait to hear what you think. If you are listening to the podcast episode or even after you listen, I would love for you to either DM me on Instagram or screenshot your podcast player and tag me, Alexis Teichmiller, and Marlene Rose Shaw, and tell us what you thought of the episode. It always means a lot to us to hear your feedback and to hear, you know, what you're learning, what you're unpacking, and, you know, what work that you're currently growing in right now. And if you really love the show and you get a lot of value from it, it would mean a lot to me if you would leave us a review. Those are always so encouraging to me. And genuinely, you know, I just usually sit in a room and talk to myself or interview a guest, and there's no one, you know, there's no one here to look at. So it's really nice to be able to hear what you're learning from the show, what value you're getting from it, what light bulbs have turned on for you emotionally. And just being a part of this Deeper Life community means so much to me. And I just love this work. I love serving you. I love doing these podcasts. And hearing that feedback from you means more than you could ever know. All right, friends, let's dive in to another episode of Deeper Life with Marlene Rose Shaw on self-acceptance. Hey, friends, welcome back to another episode with my dear friend, Marlene Rose Shaw. She's also our resident therapist here in the Deeper Life podcast, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation around self-acceptance. I think that in general, people have a hard time with self-acceptance. Sometimes people might think it's being lazy, it's being arrogant. And I've done a lot of research on self-acceptance, and I'm really excited to talk with Marlene about this today because I think it's a big step and a big part of our journey, right? Our journey to healing, our journey to living a deeper life, our journey to awareness is there's a big chunk where we need to accept who we are so that we can let some of our insecurities go. And I think that whenever you're able to accept who you are, you can also start that path to building more self-esteem and more confidence. So welcome to the show, Miss Marlene. How are you today?
Hi. Hi, Alexis. It's always great to be back. Always good to see you and talk with you.
It's always lovely to hear your voice. I love your voice. Okay, so I'd love to hear in your own words, what's the difference between self-esteem, self-confidence, and self-acceptance?
Yeah, I think that, you know, these words, we use them in different ways and we kind of use them interchangeably, but it's quite useful to stop and explore the differences between them. And I think that self-esteem is very much about how we view ourselves as a person, how we feel about ourselves. And self-confidence is more about how we view our ability to manage different situations. So, for example, we can be confident in one area of life and not so confident in another area of life. But self-esteem is much more personal. It's about how we feel about ourselves as a whole person. And then self-acceptance is more about, it's more of an intentional attitude that we can take on. So it's a little bit different. So we can actually make the intention, make the decision to be more accepting of ourselves. And actually, each of those three impact the other, but it kind of starts with self-acceptance because, you know, when we have self-acceptance, that means we have better self-esteem. And when we have better self-esteem, we're more likely to be able to gain confidence. I know that at the core of me, I'm worthy and I'm doing okay. So therefore I'm going to work on my confidence in these different areas of life. So it starts with self-acceptance. And I, as a therapist, I'm huge on self-acceptance. You know, it's a foundation for so much in life. So really, of those three, we need to start with the self-acceptance and the others can follow through. You can't really have the other two if you don't have acceptance of yourself.
That's really powerful. I never really understood the relationship between the three, you know, the acceptance, the self-esteem, the self-confidence. And so would you say that it's hard to have sustainable confidence or sustainable self-esteem if you don't have that self-acceptance? Because I've found that, you know, I'll feel confident for a little bit about a particular thing or, you know, a particular area of my life where I have a high self-esteem. And then the next day or the next week, it might be gone. And mm-hmm. I'm like grappling for it. You know, I'm like, where did that confidence go? Where did that inner self-esteem go? And would you say that maybe there's a disconnection there between, okay, do we really have full self-acceptance? I'd kind of love to get your input on that.
Yeah, tell me a bit more about that from your perspective then, from your experience. So some days you feel confident about something and then another day you lose that, or?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that we need to understand what self-acceptance really means, because you know, self-acceptance, some people get confused with it. They think it means, sometimes people think it means being arrogant, or it means letting themselves off the hook, or just not bothering with something that, oh, I'm fine as I am and I can't be bothered. But actually self-acceptance is about, it's kind of unconditional love for yourself. It's kind of saying, you know, I've got these great parts to myself, and then I've got other parts that I could use a little work on. And then I've got all the other parts in between, and it's all okay. It's all okay, because that's what we are. We're a work in progress. And we can be confident if we understand that we don't have to be perfect. And it's when we think we have to be, you know, very, very good at something that, you know, we put so much pressure on ourselves. And that's why some days you might feel more confident than others, because you just happen to be having a good day and you're in a high vibe and life feels easier. Whereas if you have self-acceptance, then it's kind of all okay. So you kind of feel confident because you know you're just doing the best you can with whatever it is that day, and that's good enough. Do you see the subtle difference?
I do see the difference. Your phrase of self-acceptance is essentially unconditional love for yourself. Mm-hmm. That's really powerful. Thank you for sharing that. That kind of opens up some of my own limiting beliefs around what self-acceptance really means. Because I think that we live in a world that's very focused on self-improvement and we have to be the most productive. We have to be the most in tune with ourselves. We have to be the most aware, the most successful in our business. You know, we have to be plugged into all these things, and we have these expectations of performing at our highest quality in all areas of life at all times. Mm-hmm. And it can just feel incredibly exhausting. Right. And so I think that's where some of the disparity is. And this is something I even see in my own clients and even in myself, is when we're operating from that space of, you know, basically scarcity of like, I'm not enough and I'm not doing enough. And it perpetuates this exhaustion. Then on the flip side, it's like, okay, how can I love myself unconditionally today? And if I don't show up at my highest quality self in these areas, I'm still going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that is really difficult, you know, when you have these really high expectations of yourself. Mm-hmm. How do expectations play a role in that self-acceptance / unconditional love?
Mm-hmm. There's a bit of a secret. There's a secret behind this. And the secret is that actually self-acceptance leads to self-improvement. It really does. And the reason is because the opposite of self-acceptance is resistance. It's judgment. It's self-criticism. It's beating yourself up. And when we do that, we create resistance in our being. We create a sense of blockage, you know, a negativity. It's kind of like a battle going on in your head. You know, it's this sort of, I wish I was different. Why can't I be different? Why can't I be better? Takes up so much space in your head. So how can you have self-improvement if you've just created this big, you know, storm battle going on inside you? There's no space for anything. And, you know, that's why we need to let go of the resistance that we feel. We need to let go of all that judgment, all that criticism. Because when we do that, we create space. And space means that we can be more creative. We can think more clearly. And when we can be more creative and we can think more clearly, guess what? We get better at things. So actually, self-acceptance leads to self-improvement. They're not opposing. Actually, self-acceptance is the magical secret behind self-improvement.
I feel like we've unlocked some secret sauce, you know. I love that. You said hold space. Like, when we do that, we create more space for ourselves, not just mentally, but I think a part of this process is also creating physical space, or like space, like margin in our day and in our calendars to actually spend time thinking and processing through this.
Yeah.
Because I think that another potential element to this is this sense of urgency that we feel as we work through life, right? And so when do we actually take the time, you know, the time and space to process these things and to recognize these patterns and say, hey, you know, what's really going on here is that we haven't accepted who we are. And how do we get to that place and actually create space to work through that? What does that look like? And how do we prioritize that time? What could that look like?
I think, you know, a lot of this is around really fully understanding, it, because, you know, what I'm talking about when I say that self-acceptance leads to self-improvement, if you think about stress, when we beat ourselves up and we tell ourselves that we're not good enough and we mustn't accept ourselves, we've got to be better, what we're doing is we are putting ourselves into fight, flight, or freeze. We're triggering hormones in the body. We're triggering the amygdala. We're putting ourselves into fight, flight, freeze. So if we're in fight mode, we're being defensive. We're not growing as a person. If we're in flight mode, we're running away. We're not dealing with our issues. If we're in freeze mode, we can't think straight. So, you know, that is what it's about. That is what I'm talking about when I say that we need to self-acceptance creates space for us to have what we call a cognitive shift. And a cognitive shift means looking at something from a much more logical, sensible, and effective perspective. So, you know, it's asking the right questions. How can I do this instead of what's wrong with me? I can't do it. You know, so when we're in that sort of survival mode of, you know, I'm not good enough, we're not being our creative selves at all.
Yeah. And then it's a disservice to us and in the world around us, right?
Yeah.
Because we're not really showing up as who we are. We're kind of showing up almost as this shell of ourselves, you know, either what we think other people want us to be. And it just creates a lot of confusion, I would say, of who am I in the world and how do I show up here? I have a question around the daily activities. You know, how can we become more self-accepting? What daily activities or questions? You kind of mentioned a question earlier. What questions can we incorporate that can help create more consistent self-acceptance? Because I will say that I've gone through seasons where I've been incredibly self-accepting and then I'll be hard on myself and then I'll be self-accepting and then I'll be hard on myself. And so it's almost like this habit or this incorporation of this is a daily practice or a weekly practice in which we meet ourselves in this space where we are being self-accepting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, as I say, you know, understanding what self-acceptance is and how it works is the first thing. That's the start. And then I think we also, you know, there are various activities we do, which I'll mention, but I think before that even, it's really important that we can, you know, I like to visualize this, that we see ourselves on a path. You know, our life is a pathway of wisdom, and we're moving along that path, and we're always going to be further ahead than where we were before. So we can't expect ourselves to know something today that we can't know until we reach further along the path. You know, this is what happens: is we are here, we're on a journey, and we're never going to be these perfect beings. We're just on the journey. And we need to understand that. And that helps us to be much more self-accepting, because we're not supposed to get everything right and be perfect all the time. We're supposed to learn lessons and have challenges and mess things up and ask ourselves what we can learn from it. And I think if we can visualize ourselves on that path and understand that sometimes we stray off the path, we stray away from the path, we get, you know, misdirected, we get, you know, sidetracked. And we can ask ourselves the question, have I strayed off the path? And shall I step back onto it? That's it. It's very, very simple, because that's what human beings do. That's what we're here for. We can't expect ourselves to be, you know, way ahead where we are on the path. We just are where we are. We stray off, we come back. We stray off, we come back. And if we can kind of visualize that and actually see ourselves there on that journey, I think that's one really powerful way to practice self-acceptance, because it's a way of looking at ourselves almost from a spiritual point of view. That's what I'm doing here on planet Earth in this human form. And that's fine. When, you know, it's accepting ourselves as human beings.
That's really powerful, because it's this practice of returning to yourself almost. Yeah. And it's normalizing straying from the path, getting back on the path, straying from the path, getting back on the path. And I think if we can normalize that in this journey to self-acceptance, it also kind of opens up some space for us to say, this is normal, you know, like, this is so normal. And I don't have to judge myself or criticize myself because I got off the path. Right. It's like, hey, remember, we've done this before. We've been here before. We can get back on the path at any time. I think that's maybe where there's some internal tension that's created, where we've stepped off the path and then we judge ourselves even more critically, because it's like, you know, the question, have I strayed? Well, yes, I have. And then there's so much judgment even attached to acknowledging that we are, you know, very far from that unconditional love and from that self-acceptance too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, I may have said it here on the podcast before, I can't recall, but I often do say the whole of life is a mindfulness process. You know, mindfulness isn't just about practicing mindfulness in the traditional sense. The whole of life is a mindfulness process. And it's not about being zen and in the moment all the time. Mindfulness is about straying off, coming back, straying off, coming back. And with a traditional mindfulness practice, for example, we notice when our thoughts have strayed and we bring them back. We notice they've gone away, we bring them back. And that's the art of mindfulness. It's not about always staying in this special, you know, zone. It's about keep noticing you've strayed and coming back. And the whole of life is like that. That is the beauty of human life, is that we don't go along being these perfect being robots the whole time. You know, we have all this contrast in our life and all these lessons to learn. And that's how we evolve. And we wouldn't be good at going along the path if we didn't stray off it sometimes and come back to it. So, you know, that's really a very powerful visual exercise to have to help. And, you know, there's so many different ways that we can look at being, you know, having more self-acceptance. And one of them is just simply reframing how we talk to ourselves. So, for example, you know, when you catch yourself with that criticism, it's about asking, well, how could I say this to myself in kinder ways? How could I notice that I need to do something, and how could I say it to myself in kind ways instead of judging myself? It's as simple as that.
And even the tone that I will use towards myself, like my inner tone, the voice inside my head, is not nice. It's like being kinder and also softening that tone of the way that I speak to myself too, of recognizing, hey, we're an evolving being, and this is just a part of that journey. I think that in particular, one of my struggles with self-acceptance, and something I've definitely seen a lot in media when it comes to this idea of self-acceptance, is that in order to grow, you can't just accept where you are. Like there's almost this contradiction between self-acceptance and self-improvement. So for example, to give you like two very specific examples, one would say, hey, I'm on this process to fully accepting my body. This is what my body looks like. This is where my body is. And I want to hold neutral space for my body. I don't love every part of my body, but I also don't want to hate every part of my body. I want to hold this neutral. My body performs a function. And so I'm on this process to truly just accepting where I am. And I can also move my body, feed it nutritious foods, have goals for the way that I want to feel, the way that my joints move and, you know, my mobility. I can have goals while still accepting where I am. But I think that's a contradicting, in, at least in our society, it's hard to wrap your mind around how do I accept where I am while also making room for growth. And then another very specific example is saying, okay, I am accepting of my mental illness, of recognizing that I struggle with depression. And so I'm accepting of that, which could also look like this is just who I am. I just have this. This is a part of my life. But I also want to hold space for I prioritize therapy and journaling and healing and practices like EMDR and really trying to understand and learn how to better manage this in my life. And so I'm leaving that room for growth while still very much accepting instead of avoiding. See, I also think there's a relationship between acceptance and avoidance. So I'd love to kind of hear, you know, how can we, like you said, reframe and hold space for both self-acceptance and self-improvement that's really around this acknowledgement and this acceptance that basically deters avoidance.
Right. Yeah. And you just used a good word there, acknowledgement, because I think, you know, I totally hear what you're saying because, you know, what I'm hearing you say is I want to improve. And if I stay in this state of acceptance, am I stopping myself from improving because I'm not nudging myself forward? Is that what you're saying, Alexis?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that actually we need to define acceptance, what that word means, because quite often we kind of think it means condoning. You know, I'm condoning this. I'm saying it's okay. It's okay for me. And yes, it's okay in terms of unconditional love. You know, you're worthy, whatever you are, you're worthy. But I think acknowledgement is a much more powerful definition of acceptance, because it's, you know, it's like I acknowledge that this is where I am, and that's absolutely is what it is, what it is, and I'm not going to beat myself up about it because this is me as a human being. And I'd also like to make these improvements, so I'm going to take some steps to make these improvements, and I'm going to accept myself as a, you know, vulnerable human being who will have more success on some days than others, but I'm doing my best. But I acknowledge that this is who I am. I acknowledge that I'm good at some things, I'm not so good at other things. And that's fine. And I'm just working on improving it because it's fun to do that. So it's that difference in that definition of the word acceptance that I think when we can grasp that, we can get away from this sort of paradox that you were describing just now, this sense of how can I accept myself and make improvements at the same time. It's acknowledging, it's not condoning, it's acknowledging that you are who you are, and that's fine, and you can add to that if you want to, because in doing that we come back to this magical self-acceptance thing, because we give ourselves power to actually be creative, to feel confident. You know, if we're not accepting of ourselves, if we're beating ourselves up, it makes it very difficult to get motivated to do things, because you've got this heavy energy around you. If you're saying, I acknowledge that, you know, I need to go and exercise and I'm not doing it, and that's just who I am right now and that's what I'm like, I acknowledge that. But you know that on top of acknowledging that, and not beating myself up, I think I might actually go and do it. Because you've got space to do that. You feel okay. You feel you can give yourself permission to do that. Whereas if you're saying, oh, I'm terrible, I never exercise, this is awful, the end of the world, what a dreadful person I am, well, you don't really feel you don't really feel very confident to go and do it then, do you? It's like a giant standing over you with a stick, basically, isn't it? You just...
Yes. Yeah, I agree. It's almost like we disempower ourselves,
yeah,
through our own criticism and our own self-talk, that it's like, oh, here we are again, Alexis. And it's like, why even try?
You know? Yes.
It's like, okay, we've strayed from the path that we talked about earlier. Then there's this other caveat that's like, okay, because it is such a cyclical pattern, hopefully the longer we're in this, the longer those stretches of time are where we've strayed from the path.
Yeah.
But when we do stray, there is this inner voice that comes out that's like, been here before. Like, why even try to get back on the path? Because you're just going to get off of it again. And then you stay in this place. I think that creates a lot of feelings of being stuck, mm-hmm, and feeling like I can't help any part of my life. I can't help my circumstances. I can't help this, relationship I'm in where I'm unhappy. I don't like my career. And you can kind of start to pile on and spiral a bit of, okay, well, I don't like anything about my life. And so then I guess this is just where I'm at now. And how do we get ourselves back from those places?
I think, you know, one great thing that we can do is to understand that we're part of something that's so much bigger than us. And actually, if I'd recommend to anybody who's really stuck in that negative, self-critical, lacking acceptance in that space, something you can do that is very simple is get out into nature. Because when you get out into nature, you start to connect with that, you know, universal force, and you start to recognize that you really are part of something that's so much bigger than yourself, so much bigger. And you know, you begin to understand again that you're just an evolving being on planet Earth, and you don't have to get everything right. We're not the masters of the universe. We are in some way. We're all part of something, but we don't have to control everything and feel that we must control everything. And I think getting out into nature is a really good way, because acceptance it's not a big passionate feeling. It's not a big kind of, oh, wowee, look at me, you know, I'm accepting. We've got other things we can do for that. But acceptance is a beingness. It's a state of being. It's a state of saying, I'm absolutely am where I am right now. And I acknowledge that. I'm not resisting it. I'm not wishing I was different. I'm not telling myself I should be different. I'm just accepting that this is, acknowledging this is where I am. And then I'm thinking, maybe I could have some coulds. Forget the shoulds. Maybe I could have some coulds. So I acknowledge this is where I am. And it might be fun to just explore my potential.
That's really powerful. I was listening to you and I was getting a little emotional, because I find myself in those valleys every couple of months. You know, I wouldn't say it's a weekly thing or a daily thing, but I'll kind of go through those valleys where that negativity really starts to come in, and there's some comparison there. Right. And I'm comparing my journey to someone else's, or my business to someone else, or, you know, my relationship to someone else's. And then there's this feeling of, you know, should I put effort? You know, I almost demotivate myself. And I do look at that column of shoulds. Mm. And I really love that you said maybe we could explore our potential and offer in some coulds. And it's really a shift. I mean, that's even there is a big reframe of, I think, a part of self-acceptance is really accepting yourself and not looking for external acceptance and validation. And I think that's something that is important for us to kind of talk a little bit about is so much of how we feel about ourselves is molded and defined by the way that we fit into the world, quote unquote, fit in, and then what other people see and affirm and validate in us. Let's talk about the relationship between that and how do we kind of detach our worth and our own unconditional love from the acceptance and unconditional love of other people. I mean, I know that we need people, but I also think that there are times in life where we might need them too much. Yeah. And we look for people to tell us, hey, you're okay. You know, oh, you're enough. Oh, you're born for this career, even if you hate it. Or yeah, this person's made for you, even if you don't feel like the relationship's quite where you want it to be. And so we kind of put so much stock and weight into what other people affirm and encourage us in. And then that's just gospel. That's just the way it is because so-and-so told me. And how do we kind of shift that back to really our own understanding and our own voice and saying, here's my intuition, here's my own self-acceptance through this?
I think, yeah, the dreadful comparisonitis, I call it. And we all experience it from time to time, and it can creep up. You know, we can be doing really just fine in our lives, and then suddenly we'll see something maybe on Facebook or something or Instagram, or, you know, oh, look at me and what wonderful thing I've done. And we think, oh gosh, I'm not. So yeah, it's, you know, and everybody is affected by that at times, but then I think the trick is to notice it and step out of it quite quickly. If that's an issue and it's an ongoing issue, this you know, seeking validation externally, it's likely that you've learned to do that from an early age, that it's a belief system, that you've been trained in that, programmed in that, you know, because the subconscious, it is like a hard drive, and we do have these programs, and we do keep rerunning them, and that does dictate, you know, a very high percentage of how we feel and what we think and what choices we make. So if there's a lot of lack of acceptance and a lot of seeking validation from other people, then that's the time to go and see a therapist and explore those belief systems and do some practice. I mean, in my practice, I teach EFT to my clients a lot, and matrix reimprinting, which is uses EFT and takes client back in to visit their former self, and actually has, you know, a way of reframing experiences they've had in early life so that they have new beliefs, better beliefs, more helpful beliefs. So a lot of it is to do with that. And I always say, try and work towards getting 10% validation from others and giving yourself 90%, because a lot of the time people do that the other way around. They'll give themselves 10% and they'll expect 90% from other people. And they are never going to be happy if they do that, because people can't, it's not fair to expect other people to always validate you all the time. People are busy. They've got their own lives. They have their off days. They say the wrong thing. They put their foot in their mouth. You know, do you know that expression in America? Put your foot
yes.
in the mouth.
Yes.
You know, people do that. And then if you're expecting all your sense of worth to come from them, and they do that because they're busy or they're distracted, or then you're going to end up feeling pretty bad. So it really is good to have an aim to provide most of the validation from yourself, and then to recognize that human beings, we do need a bit of it from each other. And it's nice. It's nice when we receive it.
It is.
But yeah, so seeing a therapist, doing some personal development work, if that's an issue, meditation, getting into a state of simply being, going out into nature, all of those things can help us to come back to ourselves and get away from all that comparing and contrasting and looking at the things of life, which are really just things at the end of the day, aren't they?
They are. They really are. I really appreciate you going into such detail on that. I think that is really helpful. And it's always just really helpful to have a different perspective. right? Because so much of our own head and our own thoughts are these echo chambers, and we've have these belief systems from early ages that kind of labels things as good and labels things as bad. And we don't guide ourselves into this neutral space where you're acknowledging where things are. And sometimes when we label ourselves as bad, that kind of puts us down this other path of, you know, negativity and self-criticism. And so I'm curious, how can we hold neutral space for ourselves instead of this, you know, we're all bad or we're all good? And I think that that can be a really toxic kind of place to live of like, oh yeah, everything's good in my life all the time. Okay. Is that actually true? Maybe it isn't. That's great. But I do think that there's, I don't know if you're familiar with the term toxic positivity, but it's kind of been circulating around for the last couple of years here in the States. And it's something I've really had to explore a lot of, okay, let's at least acknowledge some things that, you know, aren't always good. And then there's also this space of like, well, I'm just a bad person because I tick off these check marks of what I think a bad person is. And so it's, I think a part of this acknowledgement and a part of this self-acceptance journey is taking away a lot of those labels, right? Because we love labeling things because we want to compartmentalize where they fit in into our brain. But how do we kind of reframe holding that neutral space for ourselves instead of this pressure of trying to put ourselves in these good or bad categories?
Yeah, I think that's one thing you find is the more that you practice self-acceptance, the easier it becomes to not have that kind of binary all or nothing point of view, because you start to acknowledge all the bits in the middle, really. It's really great to help other people, you know, because when you help other people, you start to see the all the variety of life. You start, you know, you're not so focused on yourself as being all good or all bad. You see people in all their differences, and that helps you to gain a sense of humankind and human nature and the depth of our personalities and our values and our makeup. And if you're in a helping role, you're less likely to be in a judgmental role. And so that judging this way or that way, it doesn't exist. You're just accepting people for how they are. And in turn, that you can then reflect that back onto understanding yourself in that role as well.
That's really powerful. I think that I am such an all or nothing person. That's very much like a part of my personality. Yeah. And so, you know, it does help to categorize things like this or that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't always leave that space in the middle to explore, you know, what things are and what they could be, because I'm trying to put them in these boxes so that I can understand them. And that's definitely something I'm unlearning and really trying to reframe the way that I look at that. So, again, kind of connecting this self-acceptance, self-esteem, and self-confidence, once we've acknowledged and when we're really on this path to self-acceptance, what's the journey into self-esteem and self-confidence?
Well, I think if you have self-acceptance, it's going to lead to self-esteem, isn't it? Because the way you view yourself, self-esteem is all about how you view yourself. And if you accept yourself unconditionally, then you can know that you have worth. Your worth isn't dependent on this or that. It's just your worth. And that will give you an opportunity to feel much more confident in yourself, because, you know, confident is such an interesting term, confidence, because people think of confidence as, you know, I'm great at this sport, or I'm, you know, I'm a brilliant writer, or I can, you know, I can do this skill. But confidence really, really is about being comfortable in your own skin. Confidence is really about being able to say, you know, I can't do this. I'm not very good at it. And that's okay. You know, confidence is about being able to, oh, I made this mistake. Oh dear. oh, I feel a bit embarrassed. Never mind. I'll move on from that. That's real confidence. Confidence is not about being really, really good at stuff. You know, confidence is about being really good at some stuff and saying, wow, I'm so thrilled that I've worked hard and I've got good at that and I enjoy it. And I'm really rubbish at this other stuff. And that's fine because I'm kind of sweet and cute and that's all right. I love myself just for that side of me too. And then there's all these in-between bits that, you know, I'm sort of doing my best and some days I'm better than others. And that's what I'm saying about, you know, helping other people. Because, you know, I would like you, Alexis, to honor yourself in the way you honor your clients. Because when you work with your clients, you don't expect them to be all good or all bad, do you?
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. It is a journey. And it is something that, you know, this is hard work. Like this, like what we're talking about is is hard work. It is. And I don't want to label it as hard in a way that it's not worth it. And I also don't want to overcomplicate it either. I just think that these daily practices that we're kind of building into our, to the way that we think and the way that we behave and the way we make decisions, it's difficult when you are unlearning a lot of your patterns and a lot of your belief systems, and then you're rebuilding, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the journey I'm on right now, is recognizing here are some areas of life that these thought patterns don't serve us. You know, they might have served us here, but they don't serve us now. And so how do we kind of rewind those, reel those back in, recognize what we learned from those, but then on the other side say, okay, I'm ready to rebuild. Yeah. And I think that this process of self-acceptance and self-esteem and self-confidence is really a rebuilding. You know, it's looking inward and saying, all right, I want to thrive. I want to flourish. It's time for me to kind of start building that foundation back. Because I think the relationship between the three, acceptance, self-esteem, and confidence, I think that we try to jump to confidence and we really miss those foundational pieces. And I would say that's been my journey, is trying to jump to the confidence. And that's kind of what I said in the earlier part of this episode, was like the unsustainability of that. Because then I feel it and then it's gone. And it's like, okay, well, I don't have the foundational pieces to really kind of fall back on. So yeah, I love this conversation.
It's like, you know, we were saying just now about having, you know, expecting to get our validation from another person, getting it externally, and it can't last because they have their off days and they're busy. Well, isn't it the same with getting your external validation from some sort of achievement? Isn't it the same thing? You have a relationship with that too. If you expect it to provide you with your confidence and your esteem, well, it may be that that day you don't do so well at that thing because you're tired or something. So therefore, what does that mean? The whole of you is a failure? Not really. But it can feel like that if it's coming, if you're seeking it from an activity or a goal or a person. Because we have a relationship with everything in our life, not just with people. So the best relationship is the one with ourselves, really. It's got to start there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does. Because it's like when we're in this place where, and I think that's kind of why I love focusing on self-connection, is when we do have that stronger relationship with ourselves, it really does impact and improve the other relationships that we have in our lives, because we've got that foundational work really kind of tuned in and dialed in. I have really enjoyed, I've learned so much from this episode, and I wanted to kind of shift into our audience questions that before Marlene and I record an episode, I always put on my Instagram story a question box for the audience to kind of submit questions related to the different topics of the episodes. Do you have anything else to add, Marlene, before I kind of shift into this part of the episode?
I think I need to say that I love that I'm not good at some things. I love that I make mistakes sometimes because it just makes me feel that I'm here as an evolving being, and I have a life that has variety in it, and that's all fine. I don't mind being vulnerable and making mistakes. That's cool with me.
I have been, I'm not quite there yet, like, but I appreciate you saying that because it's normalizing that we can have a good relationship with ourselves whenever we mess up, whenever we make mistakes, whenever we look and say, I probably could have worded that better, or I probably could have handled that differently, or, you know, whatever the issue is, normalizing that, that acknowledgement and saying, okay, I see that. I'm going to learn from that. But it's also a part of what makes me me, and that humanity piece, you know, the fact that we are not perfect. It's a reminder of that in a way that can be really beautiful if we want it to be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you imagine, you know, aliens from another planet observing us. They just think we're amazing in all our variety. Isn't that great? Aren't we lucky to be here?
But look at them down there making mistakes. Isn't that cute?
Yeah, yeah, they're wonderful.
Yes. Okay. I'd love to shift to audience question number one, which I think is so good. And we didn't really cover this in this episode because I knew this question was coming. But how do I, question one is, how do I accept my past self and past story? A reason why I don't accept myself now is that I struggle accepting my past self.
Yeah, it's a big question, and there's different ways of looking at it. But I think the first thing is to come back to recognizing that you're on a path. You know, you can't actually know now what you're going to know in the future further along the path. And no more than you could have known in the past what you know now. That's just, life is expansion. We learn, we grow, we learn, we grow, we learn, we grow. And we can't actually expect to know something ahead of time. We can't expect to be further along the path than where we are. We are where we are. And if you can sort of understand that and see yourself as an evolving being rather than somebody who should be perfect at all times, then I think that that can be quite helpful in letting go of the past. And I think also it comes back to this coulds in your head. You know, if you're spending your time saying, I should have, I should have, I should have, you know, catch yourself at that and just follow that up with, well, I could have, I could have, I could have. I didn't, but I could have. I didn't because I didn't know at the time. Because nobody actually wakes up in the morning and says, right, today I'm going to do everything wrong. I'm going to mess things up. I'm going to hurt other people. I'm going to hurt myself. Nobody actually makes that decision. They just do what seems to be the appropriate thing to do at that point in time. And if that's being defensive or angry or getting your own back at somebody or whatever it is that you're doing, you're only doing what feels like the next right move on that at that particular point in time. So there's no point in saying should have. It's could have. I could have done it differently, but I didn't know then. So it's very much about that. I think also there's something about time in this as well, because if somebody has regrets from the past, then how much of your time do you want to waste in the now focusing on that? And sometimes when I work with clients who have this issue of beating themselves up about the past and it's keeping them stuck and blocked, and they really, really just want to keep beating themselves and they really want to keep punishing themselves, you know, I'll say, okay, you know, one part of you really wants to let this go. The other part of you can't let it go. You really want to hang on to it. Let's set a date. When would you like to stop punishing yourself? Would you like to do it maybe next January or in 2 weeks, or would you like to wait another 10 years? Or because it's up to the person, it's up to you. You decide when, but set a date, a clear date of, okay, if I'm going to keep, you know, thinking about the past and beating myself up, then I'm going to set a date until, to be honest, I'm so bored of it that I'm not going to do it anymore. And when you stop beating yourself up and you stop regretting the past, what you do is it's back to this self-acceptance. You free up your mind so that you can live a life of creativity and solution-focused living. You know, you can live to your potential rather than staying stuck in this negativity. And guess what? You get to give more to other people too. Because if you're coming from a self-accepting, loving place, you get to pass that on. You can't give to other people if you're beating yourself up.
That's very liberating. You know, I sense a lot of a part of that process is getting to this place of freedom.
Yeah.
You know, this place of letting that past be what it was. And the idea of setting a date, oh, I felt that physically. I was like, oh, that's really good. And you're like, Dita, do you want to wait 10 years until you want to stop doing this? And I think that even that reframe too is really powerful because time is limited and life really is short. And so how much time do we want to spend continuing to mull over and criticize the past? And I love what you said of, you know, I didn't, and I could have, but I didn't know what I didn't know. And I think that there are aspects of that too that involve maybe even some forgiveness of our past self, if we need to forgive ourselves for things that we did or the way that we acted or the way we treated other people or ourselves. And I think that when we can get to this place, it can feel very liberating. And it's like, okay, I'm ready to stop carrying this around with me every single day. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And if you think about yourself moving along that path of evolving and wisdom, when we are looking at the past, it's like we stop, we turn around, we don't move, and we just keep pointing back to the further back the path along the path and saying, oh, look at me when I was over there. Look at me. So we're just staying still. We're not moving forward at all.
Yeah, it kind of perpetuates that stuckness, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that was such a good question. I'd love to move on.
Whoever asked this question, you know, just write down the date of when you're going to stop this. And it can be as long as you like. Probably the shorter the better. But if you want to make it 10 years, that's your choice.
Yeah. No, I definitely put it in your calendar. Invite yourself to a meeting with yourself that says we're letting go of our past. Yeah. Okay, I'd love to shift to question number two. If we struggle to accept ourselves, does that hinder our ability to fully accept other people? How are they related?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question because it does start with ourselves. You know, we project outwardly what we have going on inwardly. We project outwardly, so we can't really be as accepting and kind and loving towards other people as we'd like to be if we don't know what that really feels like. There's a kind of an empathy aspect to this. You know, we can't really put ourselves in other people's shoes and be in that energy space with them if we don't know what that feels like, you know, because ultimately empathy is being able to say, well, I know what that feels like because I felt it myself. I'm not going to tell you and focus on that and make it about me. I'm going to make it about you, but I can recognize what you're feeling because I felt it too. And that works for positives and negatives. So we can't be accepting and kind to others if we don't know what that really, really feels like. And, you know, sometimes I was so interested in this question because there's something about lack of authenticity here, isn't there? Have you ever met somebody who seems a bit fake?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we all have. We've met people who seem fake and they seem fake. They're not in a negative way, but they just, you know, they're saying, oh, you know, I love you, you're my best friend, and all this positivity, but there's something not quite right there. They're coming from almost a fearful place rather than a loving place. And it's because, you know, they don't have that true understanding of what acceptance is because they don't accept themselves. So it's an act. You know, it's a lovely, lovely, yeah, beautiful, well-meaning act, but we pick up on it. We sense that much as they're saying all these lovely things, they don't really, really, truly, they mean it by intention, but they don't mean it in terms of really connecting with us, because they don't know what that is, what they're talking, about a thing rather than actually connecting with the thing. So I think it's absolutely, absolutely crucial that we learn to accept ourselves. And it's funny how it goes back and forth, you know, in a way, because if as small children, if we are accepted, we learn to accept ourselves and then we can accept others. So it's sort of twos and fros, really. But as in our adult life, we really do need to be more accepting so we can be more authentic with other people.
I love the relationship between, you know, when you're accepting yourself, you're able to accept others, and that then creates a more authentic version of yourself in the way that you are loving and kind and empathetic and compassionate towards others. I think that's also can be very motivating. You know, it's like, oh, I'm struggling with my relationships. I'm struggling with finding deep connection. Okay, well, how deep have you been connected to yourself to then be able to create those deeper connections with others? There's a quote, and I'm not going to be able to get this word for word, but people can only meet you as deep as they've met themselves.
Yeah.
And I don't know who said it, but I love that quote. And I think it kind of applies here a little bit with some of the examples that you gave of, you know, people can really only go so far. And it does hinder what you said. You can pick up when people aren't being authentic. It kind of hinders your ability to trust them and your ability to go to them if something is wrong, or, you know, you want to communicate with them through an issue. You know, it's a struggle to know how they're really going to hold space for you in that way. And so that's just another way that you're not really creating a very authentic relationship, because you don't know if they can. So you kind of step back too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, there's nothing more attractive than a person who's very confident in themselves, because you feel safe around them. Don't you?
Yes. Yeah. Because it almost, when I'm around confident women in particular, it does, I know I get to touch that energy, you know, and it kind of bleeds onto me. And then I feel it. And I'm like, oh, that's what this looks like. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember what this looks like. I remember what this feels like. And it is very magnetic, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. So it really does. It really does come down to this acknowledgement of, this is where I am. That's fine. Doesn't mean to say that I can't, you know, take steps to improve in the game of life, in the areas that I find fun. But, you know, this is exactly where I am, and that's fine with me. And then I can be authentic with others in the same way. And what a gift. What a gift to give people, just to allow them to touch that energy and have that for themselves. What a wonderful thing we can do.
Yeah, it is a lot more. There's a lot more to this than just us, right? Yeah. It's kind of like you said, like seeing outside of yourself in a way that is very like that reciprocity, you know, that's like that give and take between you and the world and you and the people in your life. Gosh, loved that question. Anything else before I move on to our last question, question number three?
I'd love to move on to question three as well. Yes.
Okay. I've always had a hard time using my voice and being confident. How can I be more confident in the way I use my voice in life and work?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, this question is so in line with the work I do with many of my clients. And it really is about understanding, you know, speaking up, it's a process. It's not, you know, coming back to this binary. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. You know, how can I use my voice, and how can I, in tiny steps is the short answer to that. You know, it's about understanding that, you know, if you just do one small thing to speak up, that's okay. And then you see you can do it. You have evidence you can do it. And you feel confident and your self-esteem rises. And so you feel, you know, it's not about this sort of, sometimes people tell themselves that they're not good at this. People say, I'm a people pleaser. I can't speak up. I can't find my voice. And guess what? The subconscious comes along and says, oh, okay. All right. Thanks for telling me that. So next time you're in a situation, I'll operate from that program for you. And actually what we need to do is say, up until now, I found it difficult. And this is what I often say to my clients. Up until now, I found it difficult to find my voice, but I'm working on it. And it's about finding opportunities to do that that are easy. So find your voice with the easiest of people. Find your voice with the easiest of topics. Practice those. Get good at those little no's, as I call them. You know, say no to little things, or speak up and say what you do want about little things. They don't have to be big, important things. And get used to that. Get your subconscious used to the idea that you know, you're doing that. And then you can build on that.
That's really practical advice. You know, I like how you're able to just take those smaller things. And I love what you said about do it with people that you feel safe and easy around, you know, and creating that environment where you're kind of learning through how to use your voice, and you're doing it with people that you feel safe with. So it's even more encouraging to do it because you know that you're in a place that, you know, you're not going to be judged, or someone's going to, you know, mouth off or whatever. Sometimes when you're speaking up, and I think this can kind of go into this kind of cancel culture that we're in right now, unfortunately, in society, is I think that people are scared, are becoming more scared to speak up, are becoming more scared of using their voice because they've seen what saying the wrong thing can do. And I don't believe in cancel culture. I believe in accountability. You know, I think those are two different things. But I do think that it does create this sense of insecurity in general. I've actually had this question. I've had this conversation with a couple of different people in the last couple of weeks where they've said to me, you know, I'm scared to speak my mind about this. I'm scared to speak up to my family, or I'm scared to talk to my friends about it because I'm scared that I'm going to say the wrong thing, that they're going to, you know, I'm not going to be able to communicate it in the way I want. And so I love the idea of just starting small, starting with topics that seem easy. And that seems very, very practical.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really common. That's why I wrote How Kind People Get Tough. And that book is full of these these tools and tips and methods that we can use to find our voice. And, you know, we do need to keep ourselves safe. It depends what the situation is. It's not about, you know, speaking up and putting ourselves in danger. But quite often we tell ourselves that people are going to react or respond, you know, within a safe situation. I mean, we tell ourselves that people are going to react or respond in ways that they possibly are not going to. And we just need to not keep telling ourselves that we're not good at something. You know, we need to say, up until now, I haven't been good at this, but I'm working on it now. It's like, you know, up until now, I haven't been able to run a marathon, but I'm going to make a start on doing 5K runs. You know, it's not, oh, I can't run marathons, because if I say that, I'll never run a marathon. And it's much the same with finding, being more assertive, you know, finding our confidence, speaking up.
I love that. Thank you so much. This has been such a powerful episode, and I even feel myself kind of unlocking some of my own limiting beliefs, some of my own narratives that I've, you know, played into too much. You know, like what you just said about if you tell yourself you're never going to do something, you won't. Your subconscious and even your conscious mind will say, okay, yeah, we don't do this. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really powerful to reframe that. And I'm just so thankful for your expertise and your wisdom and just kind of really diving deep on it. We really deep dived on self-acceptance. I'm so glad that we went so deep because there's so many layers here and so much to really uncover. So thank you so much for your time. I would love for you to share where people can connect with you, potentially work with you, access your books.
Absolutely. Just go to stepintoyourbold.com and that will take you to my website and you can find out all about how I can help. And it's been an awesome episode and it's been deep and it's been exactly what it's been. And that's just acceptance of we are where we are. And that's great.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Marlene.